Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
In about an hour from now, Pope Francis is scheduled to land in Washington, D.C., where he will be greeted by President Obama and the First Lady. He'll be the fourth pope to visit the U.S., the first to address Congress.
Francis is famous for his common touch and for speaking out on the moral implications of climate change and the dangers of capitalism. He's also taken steps to acknowledge the deep pain of the clergy sex abuse crisis that began here in Boston.
But David O'Regan says he has to do more, much more. David O'Regan is a survivor of clergy sex abuse and the director of the New England chapter of SNAP, the Survivors Network of Those Abused by Priests. And welcome to the program, David O'Regan. It's good to have you.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
You wrote a recent piece for the Boston Globe that asks Pope Francis to stop talking and start doing. So when it comes to his response to the sexual abuse crisis in the church, what do you want this pope to do that he's not doing?
Pope Francis needs to find the courage to insist that bishops who lobby for the statute of limitations with childhood sexual abuse, it takes abuse victims on the average 20 to 30 years to come forward. And with the statute of limitations in place, victims or survivors are not able to seek out justice in the courts. They're blocked from doing so.
This past spring, Pope Francis accepted the resignation of the Archbishop of St. Paul in Minneapolis and his deputy bishop after prosecutors charged the archdiocese with having failed to protect children from a pedophile priest. The Vatican also indicted its own ambassador to the Dominican Republic with sexually abusing minors. Doesn't that represent progress or at least movement in the right direction?
I think those things came about through public pressure that the Vatican had to take action. They were an embarrassment to the Vatican. The Bishop of Kansas City, he resigned on his own, but he was convicted in a court of law of concealing crimes and not reporting them to authorities. And because he concealed an abusive priest, other children were harmed. And also, the Archbishop of the Dominican Republic was a horrible embarrassment. Just days before charges in the Dominican came forward, he fled the country to the Vatican.
Let me ask you about something else. In July, Francis famously celebrated Mass at the Vatican with survivors of abuse. He also approved the creation of a new tribunal inside the Vatican to hear cases of bishops accused of failing to protect minors. Does that give you any hope?
I am a very optimistic person, and I am very hopeful. I think that survivors and survivors' voices are strong, and we've made a tremendous impact on the church. The church, without the survivors coming forward and without pushing them, would not have taken action on their own. The church has had this abuse problem for many, many years, and we can see very clearly that they're not cleaning up the mess. And, you know, a tribunal, we don't know how it's going to be held, if it's going to be held in secrecy. We don't know what will come out of it. We don't know if this is going to be symbolic, and maybe there'll be a lot of fanfare, and one or two people will be brought in. You know, these crimes, the informations need to be turned over to secular authorities, and it needs to be tried in courts of law.
David, I'd like to ask you what you're feeling right now, because, of course, as we mentioned, Pope Francis about to arrive this afternoon amid enormous fanfare, lots of excitement, lots of media coverage. What are you feeling personally as Pope Francis comes to the United States?
I'm on a roller coaster, and I'm just holding on tight because I don't know how this is all going to play out. I'm optimistic that he will address the sexual abuse crisis, and he will address it with some real reforms and some real action that will protect children, not just talk about it, but do the hard things. As for myself, the wounds of childhood sexual abuse are so deep, we can be re-traumatized. So I'm kind of going into a protection mode. When he lands here this afternoon, I will not be watching the news on television. Once again, all of the love that's going to come pouring out for him and all of the gala festivities and fanfare, I kind of need to shield myself from some of that, because survivors, we look at the church and we look especially towards the Pope in a much different way. You know, I hope that we get some positive messages here.
David,
I am skeptical, but I'm also hopeful.
I hear your skepticism, and of course I understand it given what you've been through. Do you still go to church, or has your personal experience with abuse and your work with SNAP made impossible?
I was abused by a priest at a young age, and I felt that my abuser was a bad apple. I couldn't understand how a man of God could do what he did to me. Myself, I feel blessed in a sense that, you know, I was raised in the principles of the church. I hold them dear to my heart. And when I walk out the door each and every day, I carry them forward with me. I just can't, at this point, continue to be part of the church. The central message of Christianity is the cross, and that's forgiveness. And I have forgiven my perpetrator, but seeing the hierarchy of the church not working as hard as they can be and not bringing an end to preventing children from being put in these situations, you know, I can no longer practice.
So I want to ask you about this. You brought up the idea of forgiveness. This Pope, Pope Francis, has gotten a lot of credit for changing the tone of the church, if not actual policies. And he's done a lot of that, at least symbolically important ways, from washing the feet of Muslim women to suggesting that he's not in a position to judge gays and lesbians. And he seems to be signaling a more open, tolerant church that first and foremost preaches forgiveness, which you just mentioned, that term forgiveness. Does that make you hopeful at all that maybe he moves forward more concretely on these issues that are so important to you?
You know, as I said, I was raised Catholic, and I understand forgiveness very well. And Pope Francis has asked for the forgiveness of the horrible crime of abuse. And when he met with survivors at the Vatican, we see all the symbolic measures, but we need the action. You know, when can I go home to the church? Because I still consider it my spiritual home, is when I see the sincerity in his forgiveness in these changes taking place.
All right, David, thank you for talking to us today. That's David O'Regan, director of the New England chapter of SNAP, the Survivors Network of Those Abused by Priests. You can find a link to his piece in the Boston Globe about Pope Francis and sex abuse at radioboston.org. David, thank you and good luck.
Oh, you're very welcome, and thank you.
You know, we'll take a deeper look at this tomorrow about what Pope Francis's U.S. visit means for Boston area Catholics. Let us know what you think. Send us a tweet at radioboston.org. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Stay with us. There's more ahead. This is Radio Boston.